Awesome. Well, God's been at work this morning. I think, yeah, just looking at the preach, Danny's preach last week, us gathering round and, you know, the picture of us being logs on fire and igniting each other. I think God's broken open something special this morning. And I just want to encourage you, church, don't slip back. Don't slip back. Jesus talks about anyone who's put their hand to the plow and then looks back is not worthy of him. Don't slip back. That place of worship that you've come into, what God has birthed into your life this morning, don't look back. Just keep going. And Dave, I loved your voice this morning. I heard your voice and I felt like your voice sounded different. And it aligns with the testimony that you gave. God's put something in there. And as you spoke, I just felt the Spirit. It was wonderful. Don't look back as well. I think it's been a really great time. And we're still on the series, Disciples Making Disciples. Now, I'm looking at the time and thinking, okay, God's already been working this morning. How do I compress what I have in the time that we have? But I'll try to keep it short and sweet, okay? So the message this morning under the series Disciple Making Disciples, following on from the fire that Danny ignited in us last week, is staying connected. Staying connected. I don't know, you might have been speaking to someone on the phone and they're directing you to their home when the sat-nav has fallen short. And they're saying turn left, turn right, and then the connection goes. And you can still about, from what they were saying, you can still about make up the next few sets of directions. But after a while, if you're still disconnected, you're going to get lost. And I feel the Lord has that for us this morning, where he wants us to stay connected so that we continue to be renewed and empowered and lit on fire in him. So, quick story. When I was about age 5, I went on holiday with my family. We're in the U.S., Florida, actually, Disney World. For a moment, I got lost. I couldn't find my family. I was absolutely terrified. I looked around. I couldn't find them. I thought, oh, yes, this is it. I remember a lady who came and just took me to the reception. And after a while, I saw my family approaching, and I was just so, so relieved to see them. But that created something in me at the time. I'd call it separation anxiety that came into me at that point in time. And every time I was in a public place with lots of people, I'll often clinch hard to my family or whoever's around me so that they don't get lost. And I realized I was living in fear for a while. And I remember flying back and forth to the States when I was much older and being very fearful that I was going to die and there was no one that was going to look after my children. And I felt the Lord just speak to me in that moment and said, from the moment you were born until now, who has looked after you? I said, you, Lord. And he said, that's how I look after your family, even if you die. They'll be fine. And the fear left me. But there's something about being disconnected. There's something about being separated from your loved ones, separated from God. And it creates a deformity, a brokenness in us, because as human beings, we try to adapt, we evolve. So what we do is to make amends, to protect ourselves from this brokenness or to cope with it. And that creates a pattern that takes us further and further away from Jesus. But I feel this morning God wants to bring us, he wants to restore us, he wants to bring us into a new place. He wants to take those brokenness and wash it away and bring his Spirit afresh this morning. Amen. So, as just reading, you know, different parts of scripture, and one of the individuals that stood out to me was Judas. And I thought to myself, because when Judas was being replaced, it was crystal clear that they said, we wanted someone that had been with us from the beginning. So Judas had been with them at least the whole 3 years with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He saw Jesus walk on water. He heard the truth. He saw the truth, but he lost it. And I asked myself, how is this possible to be right next to Messiah, the living one that is burning for God 24/7 and still miss him? And I come to the assumption, I can't call it a conclusion, but the assumption that he got disconnected. At some point on that journey, Judas got disconnected and he stayed disconnected. And it's possible for us to have our lives in such a way that we are here every Sunday, we're in community group, word is being spoken by Danny, we're listening, we're even sat at the apostles' feet, listening to what they're saying, but we're not receiving it. And we're disconnected. We're isolated. We're in our own trenches. We're there and we stay there. And I feel the Lord wants to take us out of that place of isolation, of stagnation. And he wants to restore us back into the place that he has for us, which is a place of burning with fire. But it all comes from being in relationship with Jesus, staying connected. We talk about disciples making disciples. We need to stay connected with Jesus, because if we're not, we're just going to witness and be something else. And then you see scripture such as, oh Lord, we casted out demons in your name. And he said, I never knew you, because somewhere along the line, we've disconnected. Jesus is the true vine. Everything is built in him. All of life is in Christ. That's the way God designed it. So when we are outside of Christ, we are outside of life. And as you have flowers and you prune and you take one off and you leave it there for a while, you observe that it starts to wither. It starts to die. And eventually, if it's not grafted back in, it will die. And I feel the Lord wants us to look like his son, Jesus, and we need to stay connected with him. And I feel this morning that the penny is going to drop for some of us. Like, we've been in a place of striving, of struggling, and we've been jammed. And your testimony was absolutely spot on this morning. Very brave, very bold, Emily. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. It was perfect. And when there's a testimony that is just from the heart, it releases something in us. And I feel like God wants the penny to drop. And actually, on a lighter note, I remember, because I had my secondary school in Nigeria, and I remember the first time I was introduced to idiomatic expressions. And I was thinking, and I think you had that one day, Alex, where you had different English expressions. And in my head, I was like, why would we say something else to mean something else? Like, why do we have idioms? So I said, you know what, back in that spirit of a child, I'm going to dig up the source of this. The penny dropped, the expression. Where does it come from? You know, we use it so clearly. When we say it, we know what we're saying. But where does it actually come from? So I looked it up. Does anyone know where it came from? The penny dropped, the expression that says, I clearly understand, now I understand. Anyone? Okay, I'll tell you what. My understanding is that there's different explanations around this. But what I'd say the most popular one is in the 1930s, they had, I think they're called coins in the slot machines, but basically machines where you had to put a coin and then the coin will activate or turn that mini engine that had been designed into it. Robert, you might know about this. And then when the penny drops, and that is, it passes through this mechanism, that's when whatever has been built starts to play. So you realize the show, you realize the arcade, and we still have it in, like, because, you know, all these arcades that we have nowadays, but it's still the same concept. You put the coin in, but you have to hear it. You need to see it drop. And when the penny drops, that's when the whole thing starts to play. And I felt like that's the same thing for us, that sometimes we receive the word, but it's jammed. And that's actually where the expression comes to life, is that when it gets jammed, you can't see what it's supposed to do. So you're kind of like, you're sat there waiting, you know. If you're angry, you probably start kicking it. But you're sat there waiting because the penny has to drop. And I feel the same for us this morning, that when we receive the word needs to go into our minds. We develop an understanding, but it needs to be received in our spirit. And when it's received in our spirit, the scales from our eyes fall and we see the God that we worship, the living God who is beyond and above all things that we could ever surround ourselves with. The penny has to drop. And I feel for some of us, we've been in that place where we're jammed. It's been, for a while, we've been trying to get out of this cycle. But today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the penny will drop. And connections to Jesus will be restored and permanently restored. And every single person in this church will be lit on fire for the living God. But it all comes down to relationship. So there's some, as I was praying, I was wrestling with God. And it's like, Lord, you know, I've been in relationship with you for a long time, but I don't know how to explain it to people. It's like, I've been riding a bike and someone's saying, explain how to ride a bike. I know how to ride a bike, but I don't know if I can actually write it down. So I needed to find Jesus for this preach. I said, Jesus, you need to teach me how to explain how to be in relationship with you. And there's a few things that I want to share with you this morning. The first is, our God is relational. He's a relational God. He's a father. And he wants relationship with us. He wants to be close with us, but he's invisible. He's invisible. That means we can't see him. How difficult could it be to build a relationship with a God that you can't see? But there is a way. But let's start with him being a father. Ephesians 1:4-6. Do you have it there? And it says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given us in Jesus. And Jesus appears about three times in there, that we've been chosen in Jesus, and we're righteous in Jesus. And we're in the will of the Father when we are in Jesus, and we've received this grace freely in Jesus. So Jesus is fundamental to everything that we have, all of the life that we have as Christians. But this is God's heart for us. And sometimes we may have a challenging relationship, say with our father. Maybe we've had a challenging relationship with our father, but that then creates a certain lens of God that is not actually right. And as I was preparing this, I felt a prophetic word: if it's for you, just wait. I had a picture, and it says, someone has lost sight in one eye due to the harshness of their earthly father. And I sense the Lord wants to restore that. So because of the relationship you had with your father, you're now struggling to see God as who he is. There isn't a pattern for how we have relationship with the father. It's not about, oh, the father is harsh or soft. He is God. And the relationship with God is given to us through the Bible. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we relate to God how God has told us to relate to him, not how we feel or how we've seen our earthly father. And I feel like the failures of our earthly father sometimes, even my failure towards my children sometimes, could fracture their lens of God. And that's why I need the Spirit of God to show unto my children what it means to be a father, because that's the way they're going to start to see the Father. And if I mess that relationship up, it's going to take the church, it's going to take the Holy Spirit and a prophetic word someday in the future to say, your father was too harsh. And that's why you don't see our father correctly. I feel God wants to work in that. So if that's for you, hold on tight to it this morning. God is ever present, but he's invisible. John 1:18 tells us that no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known to us. And it's basically, no one has seen God. No one has seen God. People have had very good visions of the Lord in one capacity or the other. We've seen that through scripture. But the design that God has for us is not to be physically seeing him all the time. We're not going to be seeing God right next to us, even though we know he's here. We're not going to be seeing him all the time. This phase of our journey as Christians is separated between the spiritual and the physical. And we need to reconcile that, because we live in both of them. We live in the physical and we love all each other, which is very simple. But also in the spiritual, there's a way to love God. And we need to understand what that is. Are you following me this morning? Okay. So I'll skip a few things. So let's go to the crux of it. How do we build a relationship with an invisible God? I don't even know if I've heard this before. Like, I try to understand, Lord, how do we do this? I don't know. But I feel the Lord's going to help us this morning to understand how we build relationship with a God that we cannot see. Because there is a way, and the Bible teaches us exactly how to do that. And I think the easiest way to think about this is what came to me, was that we can't base our relationship with God on how we have relationship with people. And I felt the Lord say, for me, that is for the Lord, swap around the word relationship and use worship. Remove relationship and use worship. And if you use worship, you will understand how to have relationship with me. Because our relationship with God is based on worship. And if you look at the Hebrew word, one of the Hebrew expressions of worship is shekah. And it's to bow down, it's to lower yourself, because you recognize that the God that you're approaching is greater than you. Okay? So the fundamental truth is, if you don't see God greater than you, you can't have the right posture. If you see him as a peer, if you see him as one of the lads, then you can't have the right posture. But when you recognize that he created everything that we see, and scripture talks about every knee will bow, and you know why? Because when we see him, we will be like, whoa, God, you are, you know, we will bow down without even thinking, because his glory will be such that he came onto the mountain when he was with the Israelites. They saw it. They couldn't contain it. They actually ran away and they said, we can't come near. Moses, keep us away, because his glory, his power, who he is just amazing. And that's a heart posture of worship. So if we don't see God that way, we can't have relationship with him. We need to recognize that we are less. And in the nature of Christ, we follow to make ourselves nothing so that Christ can be everything. So that's the first fundamental truth this morning, is that God is greater than us. And our posture towards him must be one of bowing down. Not just bowing down in the physical, but bowing down in the heart, knowing that he is greater. He is the living God. I had another prophetic picture. I saw a cot which was upside down, and I saw a baby in a very distressed situation. The baby was crying, and I felt that the Lord pulled that baby out of a very difficult situation. But I felt that the baby still, the person still feels hurt. And because of that hurt, there is a heart of isolation. The person tends to isolate themselves from the Lord and isolate themselves from the church because of the fundamental hurt of what has happened earlier on in their life. And I feel God is saying that he will restore that this morning. That there's no need to isolate yourself from God's family. Absolutely no need. This is where healing comes. This is where there is life. This is where everything. God has designed his church to be that incubator to pass on the love of Christ. There is nowhere else to find the love of Christ other than the church. You can't do church by yourself. Scripture says, do not give up meeting together. Do not isolate yourself. And if you're in a place where your heart is isolated in one shape or form this morning, lay it down and let God correct that. Because God wants us to be one fabric, one church, one body. I can't exist without you. You can't exist without me. I need you. Not that I desperately need you. We all need the parts of our body to function. We need each other, and we need to recognize that that need is much greater than a chat on a Sunday morning. It's life. It's everything together. We are one fabric, church. We're one church. We're one body. And sometimes I'm sad thinking that I know we've got two community groups, which means that sometimes I can't reach out. Sometimes I can't spend as much time as I want to with those that are in the other group. And I felt the Lord stirring my heart to think more of you, those of you that are not in my community group, to love you, to think, to reach out, to give you a random call, to say, actually, you're my heart. Because I am a rubbish elder and a rubbish leader if I cannot love every single person in the church. There's no place for an elder who can't love every single person in God's house. You must love everyone. And that's what we're trying to do. So we want to love you. And we don't want life, things like work and the craziness of life, to take us away from you. We want to be one with you. So forgive me, church, if I've been a stranger and then I stand in front of you and I give you such a tough message. And it feels like a heavy lift because there isn't a relationship to carry the message. Forgive me, church. And I want to be closer to you. And that's Danny's heart as well. We want to be closer to you. We want to be closer to you. We want to be one.
We love you,
Ali. Love you too. Love you too. I am really trying to compress this. Apologies if it's not making a lot of sense. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I saw another picture. But this one is not as artistic. I feel like God is saying that. Yeah, actually it is. It is. The Lord brings it back. So it's a heart with lots of needles in it. The heart's been punctured by lots of needles, and it's almost like a bleeding heart. And I feel the Lord is saying that there is someone here that is carrying multiple hurts. Like you've been hurt, not through your own fault, but you've been hurt time and time and time again. And you're actually looking to God to say, how many times must I forgive? You're in a place of resentment. I feel the Lord is responding this morning, and he's saying, as many times as I have forgiven you. Does that make sense? It's wild, but this is the God that we serve. So if you're carrying resentment in your heart, like you feel let down, and that's kind of like making you disconnected from God, I feel God wants to change that this morning. I feel God wants to talk to us personally. You know, this is not, some preach that feels theologically sound and ticking all the right boxes and it's safe. I feel God wants to reach each and every one of us on a personal level this morning. And we have been hearing that. We have been hearing that this morning. Okay. Let's jump back to how we build a relationship with an invisible God. John 4:24. And this is very popular. And it is the basis for worship. And God is speaking to a Samaritan woman. And he says to her that God is spirit, because she's thinking about mountains, locations, all of that kind of stuff. But Jesus is making it clear, as he does, because he's the only one that truly knows. He says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. How we build relationship with Jesus is in spirit and in truth. And the truth is the word. And the truth is him. Because the word became flesh. The word and the spirit work together to bring life to every single Christian. You receive the word. You know the word. The word travels into a fertile soil, which means that it goes into your heart. You're already praying about that this morning. The word goes into your heart. The penny drops. It goes through. It doesn't get jammed. It drops. And then the Holy Spirit comes and teaches us to obey the word. And Jesus is crystal clear that his word is life. And he says the spirit brings life. So we need both the word and the spirit to build in relationship with God. Because every single person here, myself included, we all have a spirit, which we have received when we came to Jesus. We received a new spirit. But perhaps, maybe that spirit is a baby. And how do babies grow? They need to feed. And when they get older, they need to learn to chew and to swallow. They need to learn to feed themselves eventually. So we're not babies anymore. We need to spend time in the word. We need to chew it and we need to swallow. It needs to go down. And then when we hear the word and we receive the word and we hold firmly to that truth, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to put it into practice. Because that's how we complete the cycle. We receive the word through faith. We put it into practice. Jesus releases his spirit. His spirit helps us to continue to put the word into practice. And we stay stronger in the truth. And we grow in the spirit. And the gifts of the spirit start to flow. And we start to do things that we never thought we would do. I remember the first time I preached. It wasn't like this. I was very cautious. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh yeah, I don't want to mess this up. The stakes were high. The stakes are higher now, but there is a growing in the spirit that gives me the confidence to speak the word of God. And it's been staying in the word day in, day out. There is no other way to be in relationship with the Father without being in the word on a daily basis. And this is not a religious thing. Okay? I speak to my wife on a daily basis, not because I have to, because I want to. I spend time with her. And when I spend time with her, that's how our relationship grows. There isn't any other way. I can't have my wife on the other side of the world and say that I'm growing in relationship with her. How does that work? The Gen Zs will tell me. but you understand what I mean. Like how does that work? For me, you have to be in the Word on a daily basis. And you need to have the discipline. Because trust me, you will wake up some morning like I wake up after tennis or swimming, and I feel knackered, and I can't really get myself, and I have to pull myself up, and then I need to hold out my Bible, and then I read the first words, and I can't even assimilate, and then I put up a worship song, and I start to dance, and when I worship, I come into the presence of the Lord, and then I go back into the word, and then I read again. I do not rush it, I chew it. I read slowly, I allow God to speak to me, and I try to see what part of my life that God wants to transform. And that's how we grow in relationship with God. It's through the word and through the spirit. We need both the word and the spirit. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send my Holy Spirit. So that's why we have the Holy Spirit. Because when you look at the history of the Bible and you look at the Jews, they couldn't follow the word of God. They just couldn't. And if we were in that situation, guess what? We would have done the same. But I know I would. There's some holy people here, and I know that you're stronger. But I would have messed up. And that was you can't do it. You can't follow the word of God without his spirit. You can't do it. And Jesus said, the Lord said that I will put a new heart into you, a new spirit, because you can't do it by yourself. So you need to be in the word and allow the Holy Spirit to bring the word to life. I want to challenge you, church, this morning. How is your relationship with God? And when I was praying, I was reminded of Elisha. And when Elijah tapped him, he basically took his entire livelihood. He took, you know, his tools, his animals. He burnt everything. Okay? So how many people here get saved and go to your office and just turn in the resignation? I say, I've got Jesus. I don't need you. There you go. But that's the faith that we ought to have. And it's not about the act of actually resigning, but mentally checking out to know that my work isn't where I find value. And that's the same for each and every one of us. Elisha burnt every single thing. And then when Elijah was going, he asked for a double portion of what I would say the Holy Spirit. He said his spirit. What we know is the Holy Spirit that was at work in both of them. And this guy went on to do crazy stuff. So when we build relationship with God, he's already said that if we love anyone or anything more than him, we're not worthy of him. So if we have anything that is above God in our lives, and we call them idols now, if you have anything in your life that is above God's place, it'll be a blocker to staying in a healthy relationship with Jesus. You know, I can't have my wife and then be looking at another woman. It doesn't work. How do I say I love my wife if I'm interested in someone else? Doesn't make sense, does it? The whole idea of being in a marriage is that my whole being, everything about me, is signed on to Ife for the rest of my life. However it works out, one woman. The moment there's another woman in the picture, my marriage is destroyed. Okay, and the same principle applies to our father. That the moment that we have a lucrative job or something that we put above him, that relationship is destroyed. It's even more destroyed because he is more deserving of everything. And we have come into that place where we recognize that. We recognize who he is. Okay, I'm going to wrap up now. So summarize. Our God is relational. His master plan is to be in relationship with us. And the relationship that we've had with our parents, I think every single person has had a challenging relationship with their parents to a degree or the other. Every single person, I have. And I've needed deliverance to come out of certain things. So God wants to reveal himself as the Father this morning. He wants to shatter every single thing that is in place to release that vision of him being the Father. And he is the Father of all. And I say to my kids, I'm your father, but God is your father. And he is greater than I am. So don't look at my flaws. The things that I do wrong, God is greater. I do my best to show you who he is. But he is greater. He is the Father, and his fatherhood is perfect. The perfect fatherhood. And when we get disconnected from God, we wither, and we eventually die. And we don't want to do that. We want to stay connected. God is spirit. He's invisible. Everyone that comes to him, Hebrews 11:6 says that we must believe that he exists because he is pleased. When we do that, when we come to him, it's a difficult thing, but it's easy. It's difficult, but it's easy. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you would have heard scripture saying, how is this possible? And God says, with God, everything is possible. It's difficult to have a relationship with an invisible God who is so kind and so near to us. But there's a set of eyes that need to be opened this morning, and that's our spiritual eyes because he's a spiritual father. We build relationship with God through the Word and the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Spirit work together to release us into life. They don't walk apart. Like the Father, Son, and Spirit work together to bring life to us. The Father sends the Son, and in him there is life. And the Spirit brings life by reminding us of what the Son has said and empowers us to do what he did. Father, Son, and Spirit, no division, perfectly united, one God, work together to bring life to us. And when we build relationship with that one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. As we dwell in the Word and as it passes through our heart and is deposited into our spirit, the Holy Spirit brings us into life. And every single person here has a calling. Do you believe that? Like, do you know that God has singled you out and given you gifts that no one else has? And to walk in that, you're going to have to walk in the Word. Believe only what the Word says. And I think one of the greatest things that I've had as a Christian is that when there is an issue, if Ife and I disagree on something, you know what the easiest thing to do is? What does the Word say? Every difficult situation in your life, ask yourself, what does Jesus say about that thing? And that's what we must follow. So we go to the Word, and the Word is a sharp line, and we read it, and that's what it is. And I lay down every arrogant spirit in my life to make sure I follow what the Word of God says relating to that issue. This is why we have the Bible. This is why we have the Holy Spirit. So let's respond. I think with the time, I've not followed the rhythm of my notes, so it's a bit all over the place, but hopefully you catch something of God this morning. Okay, can we just rise to our feet? Claudia. It's Claudia? Yeah, do you want to? Let's close our eyes, and if we could bow our heads, just to cut out all the distraction. And let's let the Holy Spirit minister to us this morning. There's a few things I feel the Lord wants to do. Okay. And the first thing is, we've been speaking about a Father who sent his Son. John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes will receive life, eternal life. If you're here and you don't know that Father, can you just raise your hand? Not only do I want to pray with you, I want to celebrate with you. Doesn't matter how many times you've heard this message. If you're not in that place of relationship with the Lord and you want that and you desire that, can you raise your hand? Or maybe you've lost your way. You've been disconnected from the Father for a period that has been too long and you want to come back into the place of the Father. Can you raise your hand? Okay. Yeah, Father, I just pray that you just come and be with us as we go into a short time of prayer this morning. So there's three spirits I feel the Lord wants to get rid of this morning. The first is the spirit of apathy. Please, let's keep our eyes closed. And this is a broken view of God. We've been speaking about how different relationships in our lives or with people in the church can lead to a broken view of who God is. And it could change our heart posture. And I feel God is saying that he's laid his life down for you this morning. So if there's a spirit of apathy, there's a distance you feel in your heart between yourself and God, I feel God wants to minister truth into that situation. So I just want you to think about that situation, and I want you to present it to God. Just tell God, I'm sorry. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Lord, we are sorry. We're sorry for every single day that we have been flippant towards you, where we have failed to recognize who you are. And Lord, we reject the spirit of apathy in this place, in each and every one of us. We say no to it, and we receive the love of Christ afresh. Is that you? Just spend a moment and just get right with God. Correct your heart posture. You need to see him correctly, and he will ignite you to be on fire for him. Thank you, Jesus. The second is the spirit of isolation and single-mindedness, that your heart's been hardened towards the truth, and you don't want to let the truth of God come into your heart. You're shielding your heart from the truth because maybe you feel it's going to make you hurt even more. But there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I feel the Lord wants to heal that, and he wants to build you back into his fold. I feel like I can't do this standing. The spirit of isolation. Ezekiel 36, 26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I feel the Lord wants to remove that isolation, that stubborn mind, that single-mindedness that I think I know what I want to do with my life and it's mine. Self-reliance. I feel God wants to break that down. So if that's you, just commit the situation to the Lord this morning. Just tell him you're sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for believing that I can do it by myself. Scripture says that when we're outside of the vine, we are nothing. We can't achieve anything outside of Christ. And Jesus is saying, I want to pull you back into life with me, and I want to pull you back into relationship with my church. The final one is the spirit of resentment, disappointment. We call this the spirit of Cain. Not loving your brother, holding and harboring anger and bitterness towards your brother or your sister. I feel the Lord wants to dismantle that this morning. Because the love that we have for each other is akin to the love of Christ. John 3, 14 to 15 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer will receive eternal life. And this is an expression, it's not literal. But when we harbor hate and resentment and anger and disappointment towards anyone in the church, it disconnects us from God. So if that's you, just take a moment to get right with God. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for allowing hurt to harden my heart. I'm sorry, Lord, for resenting my church, my brothers, my sisters. I'm sorry for resenting you because you didn't do what I asked of you. I feel God wants to restore. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Father, we present ourselves to you this morning. We just pray, Lord, that you will work in our hearts. You will speak life. You will bring truth. You will bring your Holy Spirit afresh this morning. Just stay in that place. Stay in that place. Don't rush. Just stay in that place. And just pray. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in prayer right now and just speak to your Father. It might be something I haven't even mentioned this morning that is on your heart that the Lord wants to do. Allow him to enter into that place. Thank you, Jesus. You can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I give my heart to you. And Jesus, I love you.